Many of you are very mindful to guard me when I walk, seeing that I have fallen down twice in the last 3 months. This eyeshadow is part of the fall, and it worked quite well because when I had the full black eye, it was very attractive. When I preached, everybody was full attention. So anyhow, let's look to God in prayer. Almighty Lord God, we thank Thee for gathering Your people here this evening on the Lord's Day. O Lord, may Thou impress on our minds what a blessedness it is to end the day in the house of prayer, even the sanctuary of God. We thank Thee for the faithful conduct of this place of worship, both in the morning and the evening of the Lord's Day. Father in heaven, may Thou look down with compassion on all gathered here, that we may realize that we are in the very presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the mighty Creator God. O Lord, may Your presence be felt. May we all receive the portion of the blessing Thou hast for us. O Lord, I pray for the cleansing flow of Calvary's cross, that we all be purified and our lives be made clean and beautiful for Thee, that Thou wilt use us, each one, in our own capacities, in our own localities, wherever we are. O Lord, may Thou use Thy people in a great and mighty way to fulfill Thy purpose in this church and through this church into society. O Lord, may Thou work a great and mighty work through those whom Thou hast placed in authority, in leadership at this place, every member of the committee, of the session, of the task force. Lord, please look down from heaven and pour down the riches of Thy grace and Thy abundant mercies and enable us all to do that which is well-pleasing in Thy sight. For all of us who call upon the name of the Lord, may Thou be very gracious and merciful to all of us, wherever we are, in our respective places of work, that we will each one be a good ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord our God, we pray for all loved ones, relatives, far away, those who have been with us and now gone back to their hometowns, wherever they be, whether in Singapore, Malaysia, or elsewhere. O Lord, be with them, each one of them. We remember them lovingly. And may Thou pour down the riches of Thy grace this evening as we look into Thy holy word, that Thou wilt give us the portion of Thy lesson which Thou hast for us, that we will all rejoice that Thou hast spoken through Thy own word. For Thy word is truth, Thy word is light. This is our prayer. O Lord, hear us when we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Before I begin, I want to say what a blessed thing it is to be here, to be with you. Oftentimes, at some regular period of time, I call up Brother Mok just to find out how things are getting on, as well as to share some thoughts to encourage him. And I hope my coming also will be an encouragement to all of you. So good to be with you. You know, many churches try to start an evening worship and before very long they all close down. Because, well, two things. One is they feel so not worth their effort, maybe. Why do so few people come? Welcome, Brother Jack Ford. It's so good to see you still with us. So strong and healthy. God bless you. And so, as I was saying, they start. And whenever they start and they come to ask me, I say, to start is easy. To sustain is not. And so many churches, they do. They try. After a while, they give up. So I say, God bless your leadership here. Please, the blessing is yours. And persevere and never give up. So with that, I want to say thank God for being here this afternoon. A mighty fortress is our God, the God we worship, the God we love, the God we trust, is ever faithful. I want to share with you the story of the Bible Presbyterian Church of Singapore. Why we should be here today? Is there no other church here? Of course, there are hundreds of churches in London, but then God has a purpose. And I want to share with you how it relates to the mighty fortress is our God. You know, when Martin Luther, one man, stood against the mighty power of the Roman Empire. Please understand, the Roman Catholic Church is not just a church, but it is a combination of a secular power with ecclesiastical power. And in those days, all the emperors in Europe, rulers, they all pay homage to the Pope. And nothing happens without his permission. What a great power. For 1,000 years, inhabitants of Europe referred every one of their concerns, their problems, to the Roman Catholic Church. And man's prime concern is, how can I have peace with God? Is that right? Is that your concern, or all of us? How can we be approved by God? And so, when you refer to the church in those days, supposing we were living in those days, 16th century, 14th century, and so on, for 1,000 years, the people were all under the guidance, teaching, control of the priest. The priest rules your life, our lives, if we had been living at that time. So everything what the priest says, you do. Because he is the representative for the Pope and for God. Martin Luther was very concerned for himself. How can I, as a sinner, receive approval from God? How can I gain righteousness? In other words, my heart is troubled. I know I'm a sinner. Surely that's the reason why we are here today, that we have found salvation, found peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, found righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. How did you get your righteousness? In those days, then, the priest will prescribe the needful action that has to be done in order to obtain righteousness by works. What are the works? In the church those days, and even today, of course, still the same, the works will consist of doing what the priest tells you to do certain duties, to say certain prayers, to do certain penances, to make certain pilgrimages, and so on, and pay service to the church by works. Martin Luther was very concerned because he wanted to know the truth. Is it by works or what? One day he was sent to Rome as kind of a study tour. And that to him was a great, great opportunity to go to the holy city to see where the religion of Roman Catholic come from, where the holy priests and the archbishops, cardinals and bishops, and the bishop of Rome himself, the Roman Pope. In his own words, the nearer he got to Rome, the more amazed he was by the amount of sin, filth, and ignorance among the priesthood. Priests did not know what they were doing. They just went by rote. Whatever the church says to do, they do. And the amount of immorality and filthy evil and wickedness that was done openly in that city, the nearer he got to the heart of Rome, the more he was disillusioned. If that is religion, then I do not know what it is. The Pope himself was the zenith of evil and immorality. He came back while he was in Rome. He did all that he was told to do, including the climbing of a staircase said to be Pilate's staircase, said to have been transported from Jerusalem to Rome. And if you climb it on your knees, then you gain so much merit, because you have to climb it on a holy staircase, and according to the Roman rule, you get so much credit. Back in Rome, back in Germany, by the way, Martin Luther was a German monk and a professor of theology, and back in Germany, he began to study, going deeply to improve and to know the truth. What is it I must do? All these things did not give me any peace of mind. Romans chapter 1. This is where he found the light. Please turn there. We will have a very brief look. Verses 16 and 17. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Martin Luther, reading, was amazed. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? Who is Christ that I worship, that I adore, I seek after? Son of God. And he has a gospel, good news. What is that good news? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Wow, that's what I want. That's what you want, isn't it? Unto salvation, to be saved. For every human heart has a yearning to be right with the Creator, with God, and to have that salvation. And it says here, to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. Only to the one who believes, and not to the one who works and acts and does all many penances and services and rituals for the church. Now verse 17, open his eyes and open his heart. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Oh, where are works? Oh, dear friends, to find salvation and new life in the Lord Jesus Christ is not by works. For no matter how hard you try, no matter how good you do, we are destined to failure, because simply our mortal body in this carnal state is a sin-cursed body. We have no will, no power, no strength whatsoever to do that which is well-pleasing unto God, to gain our salvation. God's word is very clear. And this, of course, by the Spirit's moving in his heart, Martin Luther saw the light. I've tried my best. I've climbed the stairs. I've said any kind of penance or duties and fulfilled all kinds of pilgrimages, paid my vows, paid my services to the church. Is there peace? Until he found this verse. Peace comes by God, not our efforts. Verse 17, I'm going to read this to you again. For therein is the righteousness of God. Righteousness comes from God. You can only receive it as a free gift. For us to try, we get nowhere. It's like a man trying to climb a pole up to heaven. Totally foolish. So God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther was emancipated. Freed from the bondage of the church. That you have no salvation except through the Roman Catholic Church. Today, the teaching is the same. There is no change whatsoever in the Roman Catholic Church. The most famous act of Martin Luther after that was this. You all remember how he pinned up the 95 Theses. What are the 95 Theses? Martin Luther was so incensed when Rome sent a German priest to sell indulgences in order to raise money to build the cathedral in Rome, St. Peter's Cathedral. And he told the people, made a speech and said, all your sins will be forgiven, and the soul in purgatory, when your money clings in the collection box, the moment the cling is heard, the soul in purgatory will jump up and be free. Oh dear friends, God gave him this understanding that this kind of selling of salvation by money cannot be true. Impossible. How can souls in purgatory be released because you put in some money to the church? So that began the battle for the faith. That battle for the faith ended up in the place called the Diet of Worms. At first, when I was younger, I always thought they were actually keeping to a diet of worms. But diet only means assembly, a very high power assembly, a meeting. And Worms is a city in southwest Germany, a city called Worms. So this was an assembly of all the top people in order to try Martin Luther to see whether he should be condemned. 200 of the top church and state dignitaries came, and there he was tried. Whether he would be willing to renounce the writings he had been writing, which went against the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. After a long day trial, he was asked to give his defense, and the defense is very simple. He went through the whole lot, telling them what it's all about, that God's law is above man's law, and all that is written is by the unction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is it. To recant and to withdraw is not on. That's all. I can do this and no more. That launched the Reformation. And no force on earth could stop it. So out of that came the Protestant Church from that day. So that day, 31st October 1517, is known as Reformation Day. You know, today, the word Reformation is scarcely ever heard in any Protestant church today. True? Absolutely. Why? Because there has been a falling away of the faith in the Protestant churches. And I want to read this to you in 2 Thessalonians, so that we understand what we are talking about. And then I will tell you the story of where the Bible Presbyterian Church of Singapore came from and how it came about. Alright, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We had read chapter 1 and now we read chapter 2. By the way, remember the epistles to the Thessalonians are all stressing on one thing, one theme. The Lord Jesus Christ's return. His second coming is in every chapter. Now, chapter 2, verse 1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him. This refers to the second coming, to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. This is a warning, because there were some who were declaring that truly, and especially the date setters, they set a date, that the Lord is coming and his coming is imminent. Be ready. And they take actual physical steps to get people ready, such as wearing white robes, going to the mountain. That happens from time to time. Now, this letter say, do not fall into such traps. Date setting and taking false action. Now, verses 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there first come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is an event that the Word of God gives us very clearly. You expect the Lord Jesus to come, of course. But before He comes, there is one event that must precede that coming of Jesus Christ. And that one event is called the falling away. Where does it say so? Verse 3. Yes. Let no man deceive you, that they will not come, except they come a falling away first. Now, what is the falling away? You understand what you are talking about? Falling away is to depart or to give up what you once believed. When the church has given up its former doctrine or doctrinal stand and lapsed or falling away, giving up the old teaching, which is the true teaching, and embracing a new teaching, which is the wrong teaching, that is the sign. And this is very clear. We continue to read. There must be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he sits as God, sits in the temple, showing himself that he is God and he is worshipped. Now this is a prediction. And I have not brought my pictures with me, but maybe another time. There is only one man in the whole of planet Earth that is regularly worshipped by other men. There's one man. And this is foretold by Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. There will be a certain man. Now who is he that sits in the throne of God and shows himself to be God and is worshipped? This is the sign that the Lord Jesus will come back soon, following that. The pictures I was talking to you about is a picture of so-called holiness, the Pope. He wears three names, the three names of God. Holy Father is God the Father, Vicar of Christ is the Holy Spirit, and Head of the Church is the name of the Lord Jesus. And his triple tiara crown is named these three names. Now here he is. This is a fulfillment that the end time has arrived, that the sign, that the development of this event has actually taken place. And this, you can see, if you do go to Rome at the right time, bishops, priests will prostrate themselves on the ground, on the floor, 20, 40, 60, 70, all flat, worshipping one man. This is the sign. Now we're not going to go into that in detail. I was going to tell you, how come there is a Bible Presbyterian Church of Singapore? And why that church is here? 1946, Timothy Toh, my elder brother, was all ready to go to London here to study law. He had finished under the Japanese law school 2 years. And he had enrolled in Middle Temple in London. His ticket was bought already. In those days, nobody flies. 1947. Right. So, 1946, sorry. He's all ready to do law and become a lawyer. On the 8th of March, 1946, our mother died. He and me are brothers, so our mother died. This was a blow to me, a great blow to him, not so great. He was determined. He determined that he will come and become a lawyer. 5 weeks later, his young daughter died from a condition called intussusception of the intestine at 5 months old. Now that shook him. Two deaths in 5 weeks reminded him of one thing. A vow that mother had made for him. When he was born, the firstborn boy in the family is to be dedicated for the Lord's service. And he knew that. He was told that. But at that time, he also forgotten his own dedication, consecration vow. Because when Dr. Johnson came and preached, and he, like me, we all said, Lord, I will give you our lives to serve thee. So he gave his word. He says, I will go, Lord, even to places like Mongolia, Tibet, I will go. I will go for you by 1946. That is 10 years later. Forgotten his vow. God works in mysterious ways, says, two deaths. At the second death, as he went to collect the baby's body, he went into a kind of a fainting condition. And in the fainting, he collapsed into an armchair and saw himself as an old man, now enriched like an old lawyer who, having practiced for years, now clutching $1 million in his hands. But life was being taken from him. He went through that fainting spell, woke up and said, Lord, I repent. I repent. Ticket to London, cancelled. Ticket to China, bought. So he went to China. From China Seminary, he was transferred to Faith Theological Seminary in America to do the law of God instead of the law of man. I say, God's plans are marvelous beyond human comprehension. And there in the Faith Theological Seminary, one cold winter's day, at morning chapel, came a distinguished gentleman by the name of Carl McIntyre, president of the Faith Theological Seminary, and gave them a speech. The speech is very simple. The speech talked about the falling away in the church, and that the Protestant church in America had fallen away. Now we need a second Reformation. 16th century Reformation is almost forgotten, and the effects of it are largely gone. The churches in America in that day had all gone liberal or modernist. Do you know what is liberal or modernist? They use the same words, but there is a totally different religion. It's no longer trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins and he is our salvation. No longer. They use the same words, but they use, mean different things. So that morning, my brother sat there and he heard the challenge. We need a second Reformation called the 20th century Reformation in order that the church may be called back to its original teaching and faith and the ground of salvation, no longer to remain inside the liberal and modernist church. And those churches belong to an organization called the World Council of Churches. For the World Council of Churches is is pledged to return to Rome. Now today this movement is very far advanced. What movement? It's called the ecumenical movement. All those churches which formerly, 60 years ago, 80 years ago, were strong evangelical, Bible-believing churches, today are no longer. The ecumenical movement is a union or reunion of Protestant churches back to Rome. And this is well advanced. The end time scenario is all the Protestant churches will join back with Rome. Today we do not yet see it in any large scale, but many churches in Australia are having joint services. Protestants going into the Roman Catholic Church and they have joint services and so on. So when my brother Timothy returned to Singapore, having caught the vision to say, look, our churches are in danger of falling away into the ecumenical movement, which is a movement of Satan to return us to the bondage of Rome. What must we do? We spoke with our mother church, by the way, we belong to the Presbyterian Chinese church. So we spoke to them. They were not moved, they were not concerned, so they refused to listen. So what do we do? The prescription of the Word of God, can two walk together except they be agreed? What fellowship has there between darkness and light, between belief and unbelief, between the liberals and the Bible-believing Christians. No fellowship. You are believing two entirely different things, poles apart. And whereas I preach Christ and Him crucified only, the other says, oh, try better, try harder. You become a good man. We give them better education, better social help. They become a good Christians. That's all. Not that Christ died for our sins. No. Christ is our example. So, 1950, we started the Bible Presbyterian Church. Separate from the Presbyterian Church. This is the reason for the separation. That because they will not separate, we must separate. 1950 started one Bible Presbyterian Church. Today, there are about 100 all over the world. This is one which I got involved in the early 1990s. And again, I want to say this, dear friends, we are here on a purpose. God has raised this church for a purpose. That we continue to preach the life-giving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and not to compromise at any time. For the tendency to compromise is always there. Because the falling back and falling away tendency is always there. Satan is always active. What do you say to that? I say, dear Lord, help us. Help us that we will cling on to the cross of Jesus Christ. Cling on to the gospel that only Jesus. Always Jesus. Only faith. You know, the war cry of the Reformation was this. Sola Scriptura. Latin. Only the Word of God. Hold on to the Word of God only. And do not allow anything else to come in. By the way, and the only Bible today that is completely, totally true to the gospel of Jesus Christ is the King James Bible. Alright? Do not be offended if you do not have the King James Bible. But I'm telling you the truth. The only Bible that came out of the Reformation as the Reformation Bible is the King James Bible. 3 centuries after the printing of the King James Bible came the Counter-Reformation, and this produced revised versions. After that, 1881, came 100 other Bibles, and all of them that are in common use today, all of them are corrupted. 4 are most well-known and corrupted. How do you know they're corrupted? Study them. Study them. In the doctrines. So many of them allow that if you believe anything, you're saved. So many of them attack the person of Jesus Christ, or attack his salvation, or attack the doctrines of the faith in one way or another. Resurrection, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ, they run down the blood. There are 4 copies, 4 versions that are approved by the Roman Catholic Church. In case you are interested, I tell you. Today's English version, which is also called Good News Bible, that is approved by Roman Catholic Church because it is corrupted enough. Yeah, bad enough. Revised Standard Version, RSV. NIV, New International Version, and one other escapes me. These Bibles contain the Word of God, 99.9%, but 0.1%, somewhere where the important, crucial doctrines are, there's an injection of poison. So, you say, well, I was saved by using that Bible, NIV is very good. True? Yes. Herein is the deception. We in the BB Church hang on only to the pure Word of God. And this is why I thought today I let you know why we are here. We are here because the Lord has given us the truth, the light. And we are here to tell you, hang on, hold fast. Be faithful to the Word of God, because The other Bibles, some of them attack the blood, some of them attack the virgin birth. You don't believe, you turn to Revised Standard Version, Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14 here says, a virgin shall be with child and give birth to a boy. Alright, virgin. RSV says, a young lady. There's a difference. So we have not time to go into all that, but it's my great joy to be able to share with you. Hold fast to what we have. The King James Bible is the Bible of Tyndale. You know who is Tyndale? 85% of this is Tyndale. Tyndale is the one who said, I will give my life to translate from the original Hebrew and Greek into English so that my people can read the Word of God directly and not go and ask the priest, what shall I do? And the priest will tell him a lot of pack of lies. He doesn't know. So Tyndale gave his life. They caught him, strangled him, killed him, burned him. This is the only Bible that cost three people to be burned to give us this Bible. And it does not have any copyright. So this is the Word of God, not shackled to money or to the stock market. You know, the NIV, the moment you just bought over by Rupert Murdoch. You know who is Rupert Murdoch? His shares shot up by $4.52. Yeah. Why? And they don't. Wow, that Bible is going to be a money spinner. Buy shares in Zondervan. So, dear friends, we are here for a purpose. To honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to continue to preach the gospel. That souls be saved and not be caught and dragged into the ecumenical movement. The ecumenical movement is going to pull everybody one day back to Rome. And then they say, wonderful, wonderful, one world church of Satan. God bless you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant that we may all be alive and alert to the truth of God, to know that only Jesus saves, and Jesus always saves, and the truth of Jesus in the Word of God never changes. O Lord, Heavenly Father, pour down of the riches of thy grace, that we, hearing this word, will all stand fast and hold on to the truth, for that truth of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.